told the last crew that was in here this morning, I said, typically when I'm in here, I'm speaking to a bunch of men on a Saturday morning. So ladies, thank you for coming. It looks much better, smells much better than it typically does on a Saturday morning. I had some dude come up to me and said, hey man, we're not that ugly. I said, keep living the lie, brother. Keep living the lie. Hey, I don't know about you, but I have found myself an occasion to be in a mess. Sometimes it's of my own making. Sometimes it's somebody else that has brought me into the mess. I don't know if anybody else is like that, but there's been occasions where I've caused big messes, a disturbance, I guess you could say. I remember this was a couple years ago, and I don't know about you. I have kind of a routine in the morning, okay? Typically, it's I hear the alarm, and you know, you hit the snooze a couple of times. And for some, it's a few more than a few times. It's a lot of times. And sometimes, I'll just admit it, my clock's like 15 minutes ahead. I don't know if anybody else does that, but I'm 15 minutes ahead, and I hit the snooze. Doubly just weird about that. So I'm going through my routine. I wake up, and I have to decide, okay, I got to get out of bed. And so I lift up, and I'm sitting there, and I know for folks like my dad who are very spiritual, you know, he'll say, first thing I think about, Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us. And I love people who are that spiritual. I'm not. I'm going, okay, today is a day I'm going to try to get out of bed. I'm going to shuffle to the bathroom and get on my way. And that's what I do. I shuffle to the bathroom. I've had a lot of ankle injuries through the years playing basketball and stuff. And so, I'm kind of shuffling, and my wife, she always laughs at me because I look much older in the morning than I do after I get that shower and I feel better, you know? And so I go into the restroom, and I go through my routine, and I always shave before I shower. Some men shave after they shower, but I shave before I shower. And so I shave and everything, and I'm not going to go into all detail, but I need to light a candle, okay? And I take a match, and I light a match to light this candle. And in between that, I've started the shower, because I like my shower to be hot. I don't want it to be cold when I step in there in the morning. I'm still not used to the cold up here in the north. So I like to step in. I like the room to be steamy, hot. You know, I don't want any cold touching me when I get in that shower. So ahead of time, I put the shower on, and so I've lit this match, I lit the candle, and I throw the match away in the trash can, and I get into the shower, and I begin to lather up the shampoo, and I've got a little radio in there, and I turn it on, and I'm like, you know, enjoying my morning routine for about 30 seconds, and then I realize I've got kind of a glass door there, and I realize that there's kind of a smell that I'm not used to on a typical morning, and there's an extra kind of glow that's coming from my bathroom that I'm not used to, and so I just kind of open the shower door to just get a little glimpse of what's happening out there, and I look around, and the little match that I had blown out and thrown in there, it was black. There was no flame. It had now ignited in this bamboo kind of trash can in my bathroom. It wasn't a little flame. It was like all the way up the wall, like about this high. All of a sudden, I got shampoo. I'm coming out of the shower, and I get into a panic. I'm going, oh, okay. I've got a big fire now, and it's going up my side of my restroom wall. And so I reach down, and I'm going, okay, I need to throw it in the shower. So I kind of grab it like this, and so I'm getting in here. I throw it in there, and I throw it into the corner. Now, my shower is not very big, but there's one kind of spot where the water doesn't get to, and of course, I throw it there. And so it's smoking, billowing. I mean, it charred the drywall, the sheetrock. So I've got a big black spot. I got a flame in my shower, and all of a sudden, smoke, and I'm starting to go, I'm trying to get this thing out and trying to adjust it. All of a sudden, a thought comes to my mind. I don't want to be like that dude on Survivor who was trying to build the fire, and then he passes out, and then he burns himself, and the whole show has to stop, and the film people have to come and take him in because there is nobody filming this right now. I'm not in a show. It's just me. And so I kind of back away, and I'm kind of, wow, it's still going big. And so I close the shower door, and I step out into the hallway to kind of regather, get some sense about me. I've still got lots of shampoo, and I still got lots of shampoo, you know? And so about this time, my wife, I hear her, she's downstairs, and she goes, "Hey, is everything okay up there?" So she's so in tune with what's going on and with me. And I go, I got a decision to make, and this is all happening in seconds in my mind. We can just run for it right now, get the kids, just get out of there. Or I could go back in there and tackle this thing. So I thought of my man Rocky. What would Rocky do? He would open the door. I say, "Yes, everything is just fine." And so I go back in there, and I open the shower. By this time, I'm trying to get the window open because it's really smoky in there because this flame has gotten quite big, and this bamboo trash can is just melting right before my eyes. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me, oh yeah, I've got one of those shower heads that actually come out, and I can spray it. Hey, I was panicked, all right? So I shower it down, and the flame goes out in about a course of about 5 seconds. It was over. I had black soot, bathroom a mess, shower just dirty, nasty, a melted trash can, dirty shampoo. I've got a real mess on my hands. I don't know about you, but maybe you've experienced a mess like that. I mean, I really, just about 90 seconds before that, I was really having a good start to my day. I was on my way. I was thinking what I was going to do, and I had this whole list of things I needed to do for the day, but by my own making, I caused a disturbance in my day. There was now some cleanup to do. I had a project now to do some painting. There was a big mess that I really didn't want to deal with. Today, we're going to be talking about a big mess, a disturbance that they didn't cause, the people in this story. In fact, I would have liked to have really blamed God for this, but I had nobody to blame but me. But the mess we're going to look at today was a God-ordained disturbance. It was a huge mess. So if you would, turn to Luke chapter 1. And if there's some Bibles there in front of you there, you can get that out. Luke chapter 1. And I want to read a story about an incredible disturbance, a kind of a mess, really, when you think about it. Some 2,000 years ago, there was a family. Within that family was a young girl that was excited about what was happening in her life. You see, she was a young girl, a teenager. And back in that day, it was customary in ancient Israel for parents to arrange marriages. So this had happened between this young girl named Mary and this young man named Joseph. And instead of calling it an engagement, it was betrothed. And so it was a little different. It was a little more serious than what we would consider in our culture today. In fact, back in that day, the culture was this. Once that happened, it was really an agreement. They were kind of officially husband and wife, except for two things. They didn't live together, and there were no sexual relations. This time period that we would call an engagement would last up to a year. And so the young girl, she would prepare, and her mom and parents and this whole deal, and they had all this time to prepare for this incredible wedding ceremony. The husband, the engaged, the bridegroom, he would prepare the house and the home for the wedding ceremony. For one day, once that ceremony happened, he would then bring her home to the place that he had prepared for her to live a life that was going to be incredible. Simple, humble, but for them, an incredible life. And so we find this setting here in Luke chapter 1. And I want us to go and I want us to read what happened in this young teenager girl's life. In the midst of all the joy, in the midst of all the good stuff that was happening, Something disturbing happened to her life. In the sixth month, and you may go, the sixth month, what are they talking about? And really, this is tying in two stories. In the sixth month is regarding John the Baptist that we know, Elizabeth. Gabriel had come down and had told Zechariah that he was going to have a child, that Elizabeth in their old age. And so now Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. And so here's where we pick up the story. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. That's just kind of cool. Hey, Gabriel, come here. I need for you to go down and talk to Mary. This is the big day that we've been waiting for. So Gabriel does that to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Verse 29 says an interesting thing. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Disturbing words. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." She knows in a moment, she's going, "Wait a minute. I'm going to be a mom. I'm going to be pregnant. I'm engaged. I'm getting ready for this big wedding ceremony." You see, she knew in that instant that there were some troubling things in her culture. You see, in that day, during that time, if a young lady was found to be pregnant, the husband could take her before a public court and have her divorced publicly. And even worse, they could have her stoned, killed, put to death. This just wasn't, a mistake. This was a huge mistake. She thought of her mom and dad. "How in the world am I going to tell dad? Who's going to believe me in this community? All we have in this community is our name. All we have is our reputation. We've lived a life trying to gain integrity. I've lived a life of purity." And so this teenage girl with all of this stuff, she's in the midst of quite a mess. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be barren, is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." In a moment, Mary had a decision to make. It's interesting. Today, over in King's World, if you walk in there, moms and dads, you'll see on one of the walls is one of our virtues that we teach every single week in King's World. It's one of the virtues we teach every week at 2:22. And it's this simple virtue, but oh so true, that God can be trusted in every and in all situations. I tell that to my kids all the time. Guys, in every situation, on the bus, and wherever you're at, God can be trusted. Know that. Now, at age 7, at age 10, they have a hard time understanding that. But listen, Mary had a decision she had to make. The God that we haven't heard anything from for some 400 years, the God that I've been taught all of my life to trust, I now have a decision to make. Is he trustworthy? And this is Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Now, if you'll flip over real quick to Matthew chapter 1, we see Joseph's perspective. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph, young man, a carpenter, a character guy, an integrity guy, built his life. His dad had preached to him and taught him. He said, listen, Joseph, all we have is our good name. All we have. And now Joseph, realizing that the young lady that he was about ready to take home, that he had been preparing a home for, was now with a child, some other man's child. He didn't understand. She had talked about this virgin birth, but he had a hard time understanding that. How do I tell that to my friends? How do I tell that to the other men in this community? How is this community forever? I'm going to raise a young man, a young boy who's not my son, and everybody in the community is going to know it. And I am sure that he had a decision to make. Is the God I've heard about all of my life, the God I haven't heard from, or my people haven't heard from in some 400 years, is he trustworthy? And then this is what his response is. In verse 24, he had a dream. Angel told him, Joseph, it's okay. This is what's going to happen. It is all right. This is a mess from God. And this is his response. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You see, that was a decision that two young people had to make. But that was some 2,000 years ago, in a different culture, in a different land. What if God had waited these 2,000 years to bring his Redeemer into this culture today, 2006? What would that look like?
Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with the Lord. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus.
I have always prayed for God to use me, but I never dreamed it would be in this way. My life was like any other girl my age until the angel came to me. God has disturbed my life, but I know He can be trusted. But what about my parents? Would they believe me? My whole life has been disturbed. My friends, my classmates, what will they think? Would they believe I was a chosen one to carry the Messiah, the one our people have prayed for? Even if they don't believe me, I will trust God and His plan. And Joseph, my fiancé, he is a good, honorable man. What will he think of me? The law says that he could leave me, or worse, have me killed. But I am not afraid. I will worship and praise God for this disturbance in my life. I trust God and His plan for me, for Joseph, and for the special baby. I will trust God no matter what happens. My life has been disturbed by God, and because of that, neither I or the world will ever be the same.
No question, Mary's life was disturbed. As Pastor Breck just read the passage out of Luke and out of Matthew, we know their worlds were rocked. Things had changed in their families. Things had changed in their community. But what about today? How does that look in our lives today? For you and I, we've come to church today. We're in the midst of a holiday season. We're looking forward to Christmas. Some of you will travel. You've got people coming to see you. And we're enjoying the bliss of the moment of the season of Christmas. But what about when disturbing things happen in our lives? Or you say in your life, you know, I've got this list of things that I want to make sure I get accomplished in my life. And over the next 10 years, these are the books that I want to make sure I read, and these are the things that I want to accomplish. These are the places I want to take the kids and travel to. And you've got all this list of things that you want to do. And maybe your list for some of you in here is, I just want to make sure that in the next 10 years I get married. And some of you are doing all you can do to make that happen. Or maybe you're a couple in here and you haven't had children yet. And you're going, you know, in the next 10 years, if we could just have children. Or maybe you're saying professionally, you know, in the next 10 years, if I could just get that promotion, if I could just get a little bit of a pay increase, it would alleviate some of the pressure. You've got these things that you'd like to see accomplished, and over the next 10 years, you want to see this list of things happen, but something disturbing happens. How do you respond? Something that's disturbing beyond your ability to navigate. Something so significant like you had planned to be financially wealthy and independent financially and you lost your job. It changed everything. No longer do you live in that dream home or the one you were sketching to live in, but now you've had to move into a different home or you were planning on having children and boy, you just haven't had kids yet and now you're 10 years into marriage and you still haven't had children. Or that one special person you were latched onto and you were going to get married and now you're into the marriage and things just haven't worked out the way you had hoped they would. And within that 10-year plan, what you had hoped would be bliss, that marriage partner and maybe children added to it, now you're finding yourself struggling to even go home after work at night and sit and have dinner with them. That kind of stuff disturbs us. That's the reality of the world we live in. How do you respond? Because nobody in here, none of us like to have surprises happen in our life. Yeah, we like the surprise birthday party occasionally, or we like to throw one for somebody, but those surprises that totally catch us off guard, we don't like that kind of stuff happening in our lives. And when God brings a disturbance into our life, it may be so far beyond what we recognize, like in Mary and Joseph's life. For generations, their families and their ancestors had been praying for something unbelievable to happen in their people because they knew ultimately the Messiah was going to come. And I wonder whose family he'll come through, which line will he come through? And now all of a sudden, it's hit them. Mary is now pregnant with child. And whether you want to think back 20 plus centuries ago or in modern day, no matter how you look at it, a pregnancy of a teenager is a scandal. Now, I've been working with students for a long time, and man, for dozens and dozens of cases, when you deal with a young lady that's gotten pregnant or a young man that's gotten a girl pregnant, man, it is a scandal that rocks the world of those families. And how we respond is so critical. How we respond into the life of that child or that grandchild. Not just in a pregnancy as a teenager, but in disturbing times of our life. How do we respond as a grandparent? How do we respond to our grandchildren when, man, they're just not turning out like you had hoped your kids' children would turn out? And man, disturbing rumbles filter through the home. How are you going to respond? As a parent, what you had seen and envisioned for your children, I expected they'd go to a good university and maybe even grad school afterwards, and man, their SAT scores didn't even get them into a university. And that disappointment sets in, and that disruption of your plan for your child, you're going, man, what is this all about? How would you respond to disturbing things in your life? That marriage that you just were confident in, man, something went wrong. That job that you found your security in, something went wrong. In Mary's life, from all the outside appearances, it seemed like it went wrong. It seemed like a mess. But it's interesting when you go through God's word, you find out exactly what Mary's response was. In Luke chapter 1, verse number 46, listen to what Mary's response was. This is just incredible stuff. Mary said, verse 46 of chapter 1 of Luke, Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord." Did you catch that? My soul exalts the Lord. My soul says, "You are great." Now, this is in the midst of everything's been disrupted. Her whole life has been turned upside down. She doesn't even know, is this going to cost her life? She may be stoned at her father's doorstep. And she says, "My soul brings you glory. I'm going to praise you in the midst of disturbing times. God, I will praise you." Verse 47 says, "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on all generations will count me blessed." I mean, Mary recognizes in this moment, God has done something unique. She recognizes that in this moment, God's done something special. And can I just encourage you, God wants to do something special in your life. He wants to do something in your life that goes beyond what you and I can chart on our goals list. Goes beyond what we can load into our Palm Pilot and say, here's what I've got scheduled for the next year or 2 years or 3 years or 10-year plan of my life. God shows up, disrupts things, and we have to make a decision how we're going to embrace it. Goes on in chapter 1 and verse number 49 and says, "For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name." I mean, can you imagine responding this way? Can you imagine being the parent, and all of a sudden your little girl walks in and says, "Dad, Mom, can I talk to you for a minute?" The feelings of hurt, the feelings of disappointment, the feelings of what could have been, and they were on the threshold of one of the most unbelievable miracles of all time. God himself is going to strap on flesh and leave the glory of heaven to come to this planet. And he's on a mission. And that mission is for you and I. I mean, in the midst of a hectic life of Mary and Joseph, in the midst of preparing for marriage, in the midst of what God was doing in their lives, all of a sudden everything has changed. And for some of you in this room, a year ago, you were cruising through life in a direction, and man, the last year has brought change. Maybe the next year brings more change, and 10 years brings more change, and you're going, man, how do I deal with this? Mary had an amazing faith. Joseph had an amazing faith. So amazing that it was translated into a trust for God. God, my heart, my soul will exalt you. My soul will bring you glory. My soul, my heart, everything about me is going to praise you in this moment. And in the midst of this little teenage girl getting pregnant, rocking her world, her family, and the community, and in those moments of a disturbance in your family, in your life personally, how we respond becomes critical. For Mary, she's about to give birth to the Messiah. Think about it. The Messiah. Can you imagine being the mom to God? That will change everything around your home. When you tuck him in at night, it's God she tucked in. She was the one that would bear the child that would go on the mission to Calvary. Can you imagine being the mom? Knowing that the mission of your child was to be executed in a brutal fashion at a cross? Can you imagine, as we look at a beautiful cross, the thought of what it represented? The cross represented eternal life for you and I. This is the baby that Mary was going to deliver. Mary even goes so far as to say, "For all generations, they'll consider me blessed." What God did in the impossible moments in Mary's life, he can do in yours. And those moments of despair and those moments of anxiety and those moments that you just go, I don't know how I'm going to deal with my child one more day. I don't know how I'm going to deal with my spouse. I don't know how I'll deal with my boss. I don't know how I'm going to deal with life another day. God says to you, man, I got a plan. The Jewish people didn't see it coming through Mary. They didn't see it happening this way. And now all of a sudden, things have changed. And in our lives, when things change like that radically, can you find God in the midst? You may even find yourself saying, you know, I'm going to fight this thing. I don't like this change. I'm going to resist against it. It may be coming, but I don't have to embrace it. I don't have to like it. You may find yourself in a position of going, you know what? I'm just going to have anger, and I'm going to begrudge this thing. And God's saying, man, I just want to do something special in you. And while it's difficult to try to take something from Mary and Joseph's time 20 plus centuries ago and try to make it applicable into this time in our lives, can I please just encourage you that the application here for you and I, when we examine the life history of what God's doing in us, he's got an awesome plan. You are here today at the chapel, not by chance, but for a reason. You know the story of the nativity. You've heard it most of your life about this season of the year. And now all of a sudden, how does it apply into my life? How does it go from just being pages on the Bible, learning the story of this incredible little virgin teenage girl, to, my goodness, she embraced this and she said, I'm going to bring God glory in this? Man, when this impossible feat that God did in her life of bringing this pregnancy, bringing the birth of Jesus, knowing the mission of going to the cross, it encourages me. And God's got a plan for me. God's got a plan for you. Today, is your life being disturbed by God? You've made a decision to be a Christ follower, and maybe years ago at some event or some church service or somebody spending some time in your living room, and you made a commitment, I'm going to be a Christ follower, and now God's begun to disturb your life. And how are you going to respond? Can you see God navigating through that for you? Maybe you're here today. You never quite thought about the nativity scene in terms of the cross. And that was the purpose behind the miracle of the birth of Jesus, so that that little boy could grow up and pay the ultimate price for your sin and mine. So that little boy would grow up, and although sweet and innocent when tucked in at night, there was a reason for him. And it was to bring salvation. So today, can you trust God even when it seems impossible?
He would be born of a virgin. He would be of the house of David. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would be preceded by a messenger. He would perform miracles. He would preach the good news. He would be anointed by the Holy Spirit. He would enter Jerusalem on a donkey. He would be betrayed by a friend. He would be forsaken by his disciples. He would be rejected by the Jews. He would be accused by false witnesses. He would be spit upon and beaten. His hands and feet would be pierced. He would cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He would be executed with thieves. He would be cut down in his prime.
Today, can you think with the end in mind for just a minute? Just a few weeks, we get to open presents together. You might be with family. It's going to be a time of celebration as we remember the birth of Jesus. Can I just tell you, it goes way beyond that. He had a plan. There was a purpose. Not just to invade the life of Mary and invade the life of Joseph and their families and to disrupt mankind, to show how cool God is, to show that God can do the supernatural. It was so much bigger than that. Can you for one moment think past what that was and think about what the purpose was? The purpose was, God loves you. You've heard the story of the cross and the story of Mary. But to this point in your life, you've continued to reject and say, you know, it's a good thing, but it's not for me. When does it become for you? When does it go beyond just your plan and you begin to embrace God's plan? Because His plan is to have a loving relationship with you. When does it go beyond the hours in the office so you can make more money to God desires you to be there with Him? When does it go beyond our personal agenda and we get on God's agenda? See, for some in the room today, you're disturbed right now. And inside of you is a Holy Spirit battle. And you know God's not playing games. And that he sent his son to die on a cross for you, and you know it. You've got the head knowledge, but you haven't transferred it to become the heart knowledge. Maybe today's that day you just go, you know, it makes sense to me. It connects with me. And the whole purpose was not just so that Mary would be exalted, but it was Jesus that was exalted. And inside of you, you're disturbed. Could you do what Mary did? Okay, God, doesn't make any sense. I'm just a little virgin girl. But if that's what you want of me, may my soul rejoice in you, because it is so all about you. Less of me and more of you. And today, can you make it more about him? Set aside your pride and release yourself to him. For some in this room, you need to give your life to Christ. Is there a more special time to do it than the holiday season to say, God, I embrace what your son Jesus did. In the midst of who I am in this life, in the midst of knowing I've made mistakes, God, I can't make it on my own, I give it all to you. Maybe that's you today. If that's you today, can I encourage you? In this moment on December 10, in the quietness of your heart, to call out to God and say, God, I'm going to release it to you. I am yours. Here's kind of what that sounds like. We do that in the fashion of prayer. So I'm going to ask if you would, because I just know there's folks here today, you need Jesus. You need to get past he's just a little boy born of a virgin to he's the man that went to the cross to die for your sin and to redeem us for all of eternity, to give us a life with him. Man, that's the Jesus of the Christmas season. Let's pray. God, in this room, there's just folks that life is just rocking them right now. They're disturbed. May they know that from Philippians chapter 4, our response needs to be one of praise to you and rejoice. Because when we place all of our trust in you, then we know you are ultimately in control. And God, we just want to serve you and please you. But for that individual here today that's in turmoil and their lives are disturbed right now because they don't know exactly even what to do, and today they hear the story of the purpose of Jesus was just beyond comprehension. It was to bring salvation. It was to bring eternal life. We know that the Bible says that there's only one way into heaven. John chapter 14 and verse number 6 lets us know that the only way to the Father is through the Son. And we know in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, 9, and 10 that it has nothing to do with how good of a person or how good of a husband or how good of a parent we were, and it has everything to do with humbling ourselves to you and saying, God, I embrace your plan, and if I'm going to have eternal life, I'm going to do it your way, and your way is through Jesus. You're here today and you'd say, man, that's me. David, I need to give my life to Christ today. I ask you, can you pray something like this? God, right there in the quietness of your seat, you're just praying from you to God. This is between the two of you. God, today, the very best I know how, I ask you to forgive me. I've been trying to do it on my own. And today I invite you to take over. I give you my life today. I know, God, what you did with your son, thank you for letting him go to the cross for me. Thank you for letting him die on that cross. But I know that 3 days later, he is alive and he is waiting on a relationship with me. And so, God, today, I give it to you. God, may you be glorified in my decision today. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. For those of you that are here,